From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. And also welcome new affiliates to the growing Coast to Coast family of radio stations. Here they are. Get ready. WKIZ AM in Key West, Florida. KWSX AM in Stockton, California. WLNI FM in Lynchburg, Virginia. KOZQ AM in Waynesville, Missouri. KTRF AM in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. KBTN AM in Joplin, Missouri. And WCHV AM in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hi to all of you. Thanks for joining. You will find the program to be most fascinating. A little strange sometimes, but your listeners and the family of people in your cities will love this program. Well, next hour, there's a dangerous staph infection making its way through the country. Our guests, a couple of them, Dr. Philip Tierneau and Dr. Leonard Horowitz, will address this. Dr. Tierneau will be on the first hour. Leonard will be on the following 2 hours, all of it beginning next hour. Here's some of the quick news of the day. The U.S. military apparently has been developing a gunship that could literally obliterate enemy ground targets with a laser beam. Listen to this. The military plans to test the Advanced Tactical Laser, a laser weapon mounted on a C-130H air transport that could destroy any weapon system without collateral damage. The laser could have tremendous repercussions on the battlefield, particularly in urban warfare in such countries as Afghanistan and Iraq. They say it's the kind of tool that could bring about victory within minutes. The applications of this ATL, as they call it, could change military dynamics on the battlefield. Officials envision the laser being able to destroy or damage targets in an urban area with virtually no collateral damage. The range of the ATL was expected to be 10 miles. Officials say the ATL was being developed through the Pentagon's Advanced Concept Technology Demonstration Program. Should the tests in 2007 prove successful, the Pentagon was expected to approve full-scale development of the airborne tactical laser. And I bet the tests already work. European nations set the stage for referral of Iran to the UN Security Council within days, submitting a text calling for such a move to the International Atomic Energy Agency's decision-making board. In arguing for involvement of the top UN body, which could impose sanctions, the draft resolution expressed the absence of confidence that Iran's nuclear program is exclusively for peaceful purposes. Submission means that the 35-nation Board of Governors has to make a decision on approval at its meeting that starts on Thursday, with Russia and China now throwing their support behind referral. After months of opposition, the motion was expected to pass by a wide margin. In Iran, its top nuclear negotiator has warned against referral. Exactly what he means by that, only time will tell. President George W. Bush has vowed the United States would defend Israel militarily if needed against Iran and denounced the Iranian president for menacing talk against Israel. In a Reuters interview aboard Air Force One, the president also said that he saw a very good chance the governing board of the International Atomic Energy Agency would refer Iran to the UN Security Council for possible sanctions. He said, "I am concerned about a person that, one, tries to rewrite the history of the Holocaust, and two, has made it clear that his intentions are to destroy Israel. Israel is a solid ally of the United States." He went on to say, "We will rise to Israel's defense if need be." A stinging report issued by congressional investigators accuses the Department of Homeland Security of failing to prepare for and respond adequately to Hurricane Katrina and blames the Bush administration for not having a clear chain of command to lead relief efforts. The Government Accountability Office reported that the administration still doesn't have a training program or catastrophic response plan ready to go in case of a storm similar to the August 29th disaster in four Gulf Coast states. It also charged that Homeland Security Department Secretary Michael Chertoff failed to serve as an overall storm coordinator and did not assign anyone on the ground in the region to do so. In Paraguay, a 13-year-old boy entered an elephant's open cage. He wanted to feed it a mango. He was crushed to death. Guillermo Gonzalez got past a rock wall and two metal fences to reach the 4.5-ton elephant named Mia, but the animal reacted violently, stomping the teenager to death before a trainer could intervene. Colombian drug dealers turned puppies into couriers. What did they do with them? They surgically implanted them with packets of heroin. Investigators believe the ring used the dogs as well as human drug swallowers to conceal millions of dollars in liquid heroin on commercial flights into New York City for distribution on the East Coast. 10 puppies, including Labrador retrievers, were rescued during a raid on a farm in Colombia, and there were 30 arrests. A veterinarian had stitched a total of 3 kilograms of heroin into the bellies of 6 pups. 3 of them later died from infections after the drugs were removed. The surviving dogs are alive and well. In West Virginia, Governor Joe Manchin has called for all coal companies in West Virginia to shut down for safety checks after 2 more mine workers were killed Wednesday in separate accidents. While his call was voluntary, he also ordered the state's mine inspection schedule to be speeded up so that all the 229 surface and 315 underground mines are examined by regulators as soon as possible. The so-called 10th planet discovered last year is bigger than Pluto. However, that may not mean too much since astronomers can't agree on exactly what a planet is or even if Pluto itself qualifies as one. The discoverers of the planet, a Kuiper Belt object semi-officially known as 2003 UB313, gave only a rough estimate of its size based on its brightness when they reported their findings in July of 2005. Planetary scientist Daniel Derda, we turned to him during asteroid discussions and other astronomical issues. We're going to talk with him now. Dan, this situation here, this extra body that we talked about earlier, is it indeed going to be called a planet?
Good evening, George. Great to hear. Well, I think so. I think we're, I mean, it's a difficult question. I mean, we sort of have this historical, we're kind of drawn to the planet Pluto as a planet, just historically. You know, it's the biggest object discovered out there in the 20th century. Clyde Tombaugh discovered it in 1930, and we kind of, you know, a lot of us want to link to it as a planet. But you know, the question is, are there if Pluto's not a planet, then we've got the 8 that we normally would think of. The question is, are there 8 planets or 800? Because if you want to include Pluto as a planet still in that definition, it's a pretty small object. It's smaller than our own moon. Okay, so we're talking about a small object, but there are many other objects like it out there, as we're now beginning to find, of course, with 2003 UB313, and you know, there are probably hundreds of other objects like this out there waiting to be found.
How far out does a planet qualify to be in our solar system before it's too far away?
Well, as long as it's, I mean, one definition I think that we can all agree on, there are people quibble about what really constitutes a planet. You know, how big does it have to be? Does it have to be round and so on and so forth? But I think one definition that just about everybody agrees on is that it has to be orbiting the sun and not a planetary object orbiting another planet. That would just constitute being a large moon, like Jupiter's moon Ganymede, for instance, which is bigger than the planet Mercury, it turns out.
All right.
So as long as it's orbiting the sun, and the sun's influence, maintains sway at least about halfway out to the nearest star, which is rather similar.
Daniel, is this Planet X, that planet everyone was talking about?
If it's Planet X, get ready for Y, Z, and AA, and AB, and I mean, there's, like I said, there's going to be hundreds more of these things found ultimately.
At what point will we know if this is indeed going to be a 10th planet?
Well, that's more, it's less than in the physics. This object is what it is. Pluto is what it is. Xena, or more officially still, 2003 UB313. Is what it is. They're fascinating objects that have a lot to tell us about the history of the outer solar system and the formation of the planets, but it's left for people to make these arguments into how we, you know, arbitrarily or artificially label what these objects are, and that's left for the International Astronomical Union to, to argue and decide. And it's a difficult question because there's a lot of emotion on both sides of the argument.
Well, science keeps us constantly on the edge of our seats, Daniel. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Planetary scientist Daniel Derda. Japanese legislators, by the way, have told U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns a shipment of beef containing bones prohibited because of the risk of mad cow disease has caused deep suspicion among consumers in Japan. Japan suspended imports of U.S. beef on January 20 after finding a veal shipment containing backbone, which Asian countries consider at risk for mad cow disease. The cut, veal hotel rack as it's called, is consumed in the United States but not allowed in Japan. The mistake has endangered millions of dollars in potential sales to Japan, which reopened its market to U.S. beef only weeks ago. In a moment, former farmer Howard Lyman, who speaks out about mad cow disease, is our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Howard Lyman was raised on a four-generation farm ranch in Montana, and he graduated from Montana State University in 1961 with a bachelor's degree in agriculture. From 63 until 1983, he owned the Lyman Ranch and Lyman Cattle Company. After selling off most of his farm, he spent a few years as the agriculture advocate on farm foreclosures and then as a senior lobbyist for the National Farmers Union. Howard was also the executive director of the Beyond Beef campaign in 1992, and then in 1994 became the president of the Eating with Conscience campaign. In addition, he's the president of the International Vegetarian Union and Earth Save International. Currently, Howard is the founder and president for Voice for a Viable Future. Howard's personal objective is to educate all of us on sustainability and the dangers of the current methods of food production. He will be a guest on February 10th through the 13th at the 2006 Conscious Life Expo in the Los Angeles area. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Howard, this situation with Japan, is that a serious situation, or will farmers in this country overcome this one?
Oh, I think it's definitely a serious situation. It shows that we're definitely not on top of our game. You know, we test a minuscule number of animals for mad cow disease, and the ones we're testing, in my opinion, we're not testing the high-risk animals. Japan, they test every animal that goes to slaughter, and we're testing just a minuscule number that's out there. I think we are out there playing with the health of customers. And I think that this is extremely serious. I think we've taken billions of dollars out of the American economy, and we're more concerned about the big slaughter companies than we are the little farmer and rancher out there. And I think Japan has caught us with our hand in the cookie jar.
You know, a couple years ago, Howard, the FDA promised to implement some new practices to try to at least make all of us feel a little more secure. With regards to mad cow disease, I think they were going to do something about the blood and feed and things like that. Have they done anything in the last few years?
They've done very little. They actually, after the Oprah show, when we told America we were grinding up cows and feeding them to cows, they came with regulations where they prohibited the feeding of cows, sheep, and goats back to cows, sheep, and goats. But we're still feeding cow blood to calves. We're still feeding pigs, chickens, turkeys, and horses to cows. We're feeding cows to pigs, chickens, turkeys, and horses. So it's a lot of public relations is going on out there, but very little evidence of doing what is correct.
A cow
is an absolute herbivore. And when you go out there and start taking a cow that's an herbivore and turning it into a carnivore, that's not a very good idea.
One of the things I have seen is that if mainstream media backs off mad cow cases and stories, it seems to just fade away. Now, we know the problem's still there. We know people are still edgy about it, but it just seems to go away. And then we get a case or two, and then it becomes a big story again. It needs to be kept up on a regular basis, the publicity, the news reporting, and it's got to be done, I think, in a better way.
Well, you know, when we look at it, they're trying to assure the American people that there's only one case of the human form of mad cow disease, CJD, per million Americans. But if you look at the fact that we have 4.5 million cases of Alzheimer's, and 1900, we had less than a handful of cases. We're at 4.5 million. Studies done at the Pittsburgh Veterans Hospital and Yale University show that somewhere between 5.5% and 13% of people diagnosed with Alzheimer's really have the human form of mad cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. If those studies are valid, and I have no reason to believe they're not, that means we have 450,000 Americans that have Alzheimer's, when our government is telling us that we should only have 300 cases of the human form of mad cow disease, and we have 450,000. I think it's about time that we get honest with the American people and tell them that what we're doing is not correct. Let's clean up our act. Let's get honest with the American people.
You're not advocating that this entire country stop eating beef, right?
No, no. What I'm saying is that every time you take a dollar, every time you spend it, you're voting on the future. Are we buying the safest food that we can? No, we're not. Are we demanding our government go out and protect the American consumer? No, we're not. So what I'm saying is that you need to go out and protect yourself and your family. Ask the question, who produced my food? What did they use on it? What's it doing to me, the environment, and the animals? And what we're doing in factory feedlots today is absolutely, totally non-sustainable. And I spent 45 years of my life in that business. I didn't learn this out of a book. I learned it by being in the field with my boots on. And what we're doing right now in America is wrong.
I got to tell you, Howard, since you were on with me 2 years ago, I switched to organic and also cut the consumption down for my own purposes. And I think that was smart to do just for me. But I've gone all organic now when it comes to beef. And, you know, I even when I go to a restaurant, I call ahead to find out what they serve. And in some cases, the chef has gotten on the phone and he tells me the farm or the organic processor that he buys it from.
Oh, absolutely. And he can be able to do that because every piece of certified organic food that is out there has a paper trail. You know where it came from, who produced it, how they did it. And I think that, George, that's just absolute good common sense. When you're talking about something that has 100% fatality by coming up with the prions in your body, it's going to kill you, even though it incubates in your body anywhere from 10 to 40 years.
Oh my God.
It is 100% fatal.
Can these prions make its way through the milk and cheese stage of this of cows, for example?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, if you take a look at, there was a woman in Japan that had the human form of mad cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Mm-hmm.
She was pregnant, and they removed her child by cesarean section. They found that the placenta, the umbilical cord, and the colostrum from her breast milk were all infectious. If that happens in that woman, what makes you think that it would not happen in a cow?
Well, exactly right. Howard, I'm going to keep you for the rest of this half hour because I want to open up the phone lines. Lots of people very concerned about mad cow, and I want them to get it from an expert. Can you stay with us?
Oh, sure.
Okay, we'll go with Howard Lyman. As I said, on February 10th through the 13th, Howard Lyman will be at the Los Angeles Hilton Hotel. He is part of the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. If you live in this area, you want to go out there and learn a little bit more from Howard Lyman and some of the other guests. The website, of course, is linked at coasttocoastam.com, so you can go there right now. It'll take you right to the Conscious Life Expo website. Or if you don't have a computer, well, you're saved too. It's 800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. So that's what we'll do. We'll open up the phone lines for you for the rest of this half hour if you have questions about mad cow disease, if you're concerned. Howard Lyman, our guest. If you need to email me, well, that's simple too. That's George at coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, when the top of the hour begins, we're going to talk about this staph infection that's racing through this country as well. So this is going to be sort of our health for you show tonight, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Now, for those of you in Canada, this is your week. You can watch the Predictions television show on a number of various outlets, cable, satellite, it's all there for you. All you have to do is go to www.predictions.tv, that website. There is a link at coasttocoastam.com. It will show you all the information you need, the dates, and everything you want. Those of you who might not have had a chance to see it in the United States, well, you can also go to predictions.tv, and you can watch it online. So the Predictions television show, it's there for you. And we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with our special guest this hour, Howard Lyman, as we talk about mad cow disease on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Howard Lyman, your phone calls. Howard, fast foods. Are there any fast food chains that are doing a good job selecting where they get their beef?
Well, I think that we're seeing that fast food restaurants right now are in the process, George, of looking at this issue because right now fast food is under tremendous pressure because, for example, six out of every 10 Americans are overweight or obese, and they realize that they need to be providing a lot healthier options that are out there. They want to end up segregating themselves from the crowd, and one of the ways of doing it is going out and looking at getting organic beef. The difficulty is the supply is not large enough for the major chains that's out there. So they're looking at it, they're searching around. But the answer to your question is, at this time, no.
All right. To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Beth. I used to work with CJD.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. And I haven't eaten meat very rarely for a long time. This guy's right on. When you feed these animals, ground up other animals.
Now, tell me about some of the things you saw. Working, I assume, in a lab, right?
In a lab with humans, yeah. I've seen clusters of cases from certain cities. And years ago, I told the doctors, I said, these people all shop at the same supermarket, and they laughed at me.
My, my, my. Howard, do you have anything for her?
Well, what I'd say is she's right on. We have a lot more cases of it, George, in this country than anybody wants to admit to.
He's right.
The symptoms of the human form of mad cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, are almost identical to Alzheimer's. Most of these people are being diagnosed as Alzheimer's. They're shipped out. They sign the death certificates. They do not do autopsies because they don't want to contaminate their theaters. They don't want to contaminate their tools. And so I think we have the biggest cover-up in the world that's going on out there. And I would say to the listeners that are out there right now, protect yourself, because we're talking about something that is 100% fatal, that it can actually incubate in your system from 10 to 40 years. If you got it, you're going to die.
Well, you know what, Howard? What's so frightening is with this 10 to 40-year period that you talk about. I mean, we could all be walking around with this stuff.
Absolutely. And the fact of it is that we started this idea of grinding up cows and feeding them back to cows somewhat after the Second World War. But it wasn't until probably the 80s that it really got in vogue. And so you know, we're very early in that segment, and I think that you're exactly right. We could end up with millions of Americans carrying these prions in their bodies today, and we're still not testing the animals that are out there. You know, the last animal that was confirmed because the legal beagles in the Department of Agriculture thought that it was being covered up. They actually sent the sample to England to be confirmed after we were assured by our own testing nothing to worry about. And so I think it's a big sham.
Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us with Howard Lyman on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes,
you guys are the best in the world, and my deepest appreciation for your program.
Well, you are welcome, sir. Go ahead.
My question is, does the freezing, I have a bad habit, I guess, of buying some meat in some quantity and putting it in the deep freeze and maybe eating it within 3 to 4 or 5 months. Does freezing have any effect on these pathogens?
Absolutely not. We're talking about the infectious agent, which is an abnormal protein. And remember, a protein was never alive. And so freezing it, it'll survive temperatures over 1,000 degrees. They've actually taken them in the backyard and buried them, left them there for years, dug them up. They were still infectious. We have almost no way to totally eliminate this infectious agent that is out there. That's why it is so dangerous.
What is the principal roadblock to establishing more organic beef producers?
Well, the first thing is that the government does not want the competition with the big slaughter industry, because the big slaughter industry is the one that's putting up the money for the reelection of the politicians that are out there. And so they don't want to encourage the opposition to them. If you look at, you know, Japan would not buy our beef. And they said, test the animals, we'll buy them. It would cost about somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 for each animal to test them, which would be minuscule in the price that was there. But rather than do that, the government jumped in bed with the big slaughter companies because they did not want to show that if they tested every animal, that the lies they've been telling for the years that we don't have the disease, we would find that that was really a big crock of bull. And so it all comes down to the reelection of the politicians. They're right in bed with these big corporations, and they care nothing for the American consumer.
Okay, my friend, I hope everything works out there for you. If you had the opportunity, Howard, to make some immediate changes, quick implementation, what would you do?
First thing I would do is I would quit feeding animals to animals. Definitely. I would quit feeding cow blood back to calves. The next thing that I would do is I would test every animal that was over 20 months of age that went to slaughter, every animal. And the next thing that I would do is I would take the testing facilities in the United States and I would have them checked against the best testing facilities in the world, which happened to be in Edinburgh, Scotland. I think that there's lots of different kinds of mad cow disease, and I don't believe that we have the capability in the laboratories we have to actually look at the samples and view them correctly.
God, Howard, why isn't someone like you or you in charge of either the FDA or the Department of Agriculture?
Well,
we need people like you.
It's very simple. The Department of Agriculture is there to promote the sale of agricultural products. They're more worried about the economic interest than they are the health interests of the consumers. It's been that way for years. It's going to continue that way until the American people wake up.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. It's your turn.
Hi, my name's Maria. I'm from Mesa, Arizona.
Go ahead, Maria.
I want to thank you so much, George and Mr. Lyman. It's just what you do for us is just unbelievable. So thank you, thank you. I have a husband who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 6 years ago. He is from a family who are, when I say high meat eaters, I mean extremely big meat eaters. And I have been trying for the past several months, because I've been trying to do some research on this mad cow disease. He has some unusual symptoms. I can't find anywhere where you can actually be able to test, for instance, my husband compared to this mad. Is there any way we can test, not through an autopsy, but while they're living, to see if they do have mad cow disease? Is there anything available?
Well, the problem that we have right now is that the MRR machines that we have do not have the capabilities. We're getting close, but we do not have the capability right now to test an individual while they're alive. There are some interesting things that are happening where they're being able, in animals, to test the urine of an animal and find out whether they have prions in it. And so I would think that probably within the next year or two, we will have them. But at this time, the only surefire method we have is the autopsy of the brain. It's a little tough to do that when people are still alive. So the answer to your question right now is no. Will it happen in the near future? I definitely believe that. I would recommend you to go to my website, madcowboy.com. We have probably the largest amount of information on mad cow disease anywhere in the internet.
Is there anything abroad? Is there any, like, for instance, are they doing this in Scotland or Europe, or are any of them able to test, or is it just this way everywhere?
The tests that are online that are coming on are coming from Europe, but none of them have been perfected yet. But they have had some early success in testing urine on infected animals, but they have not shown this to be usable on humans yet, but I think they probably will within the next year or two.
Great. Thanks for your questions. I don't know if you believe in time travel or not, Howard, but we may have had a time traveler by the name of John Teeter. It came from the year 2036. He said he used to post things on the internet. I mean, if he was not a time traveler, the guy was pretty remarkable in his insight. But he said that mad cow disease would be epidemic in proportion in the future.
Oh, I totally agree with him.
Yeah. Then next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. I guess the lady just answered my second half of my question is, can we be tested? But is there anything we can do to be cured? If we can't be tested, at least try and get rid of it, whether we know we've got it or not.
Once you get it, what do you do, Howard?
Well, if you've got it, the only thing that you can really do is build your immune system, live as healthy a life as possible, because there is no way to get rid of it. They do believe that a 10 to 40 year period, that the longer the period was, the smaller the dose of the infection. But to cure it, there's nothing out there other than building your immune system as well as possible. But the best thing that I can tell you right now is realize that starting today, why take a chance in the future? Clean up your act. Make sure you know where the animal you're eating came from, who produced it, what they used on it. And that, in my opinion, is organic. And if you don't do that, quit eating them.
Well, then going to the grocery store, how do I tell where they bought it from?
You go to any store that has organic, and there will be a sign on the meat that says certified organic. When you go to the man at the counter, he can show you the paperwork of exactly where it came from. But if it says on it certified organic, go to the bank with it. That's the best you can get. If it doesn't say that, in my opinion, don't buy it. I wrote a book that was called Mad Cowboy. It's in the 12th printing that's out there right now. Can you imagine that this book has legs? People keep buying it because this issue won't go away, and I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to be an epidemic of magnitude that most of us cannot imagine.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, too. Appreciate it. And appreciate your insight as well, Howard. When you got involved in this, what happened? I mean, how did you decide this is going to be your mission?
Well, on my farm, in Montana, I knew what we were doing. I knew that we were grinding up animals and feeding them into animals, and I never thought there was any problem with that until I saw what happened in England, where they ended up showing for the first time that these cows were coming down with this disease. And when I looked at that, that a cow was a herbivore, we turn them into cannibals, I looked at it and said, you know, the next thing that's going to happen is that's going to be transferred from that animal to humans. And lo and behold, it was. The English government stood up and lied to the people, said not to worry about it. But they came and found that it absolutely was transferred from one to the other. What they were doing in England is exactly the same thing we were doing in the U.S. And I said, you know, I live in this country. I've been involved in agriculture my whole life. We do not need to jump off of this cliff. And I thought the best way to change that was to inform the American people so we could make some changes that we wouldn't have to go through what they did in England. And our government is still all tied up with the big money folks. And we got consumers out there that are going to pay a terrible price for this, George.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dodie from Las Vegas.
Go ahead, Dodie.
And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how sick can you get from eating that meat? Can you just get sick and not die? Secondly, George, I'm Dan Burrish's mother. I wanted to wish him a happy birthday tomorrow.
You must call us back, or if I can, right after this, you get your answer. If we can get your phone number, I'd like to talk with you.
I want to talk with you, too. I've been wanting to talk with you for quite a few years.
Okay, we will do that. As soon as
will you promise you'll call me?
Oh, absolutely. I want you to get your response from Howard so you can hear it, and then we're going to put you on hold, and you give Tom your phone number, okay?
I want to wish my son a happy birthday, though.
Wherever he is, right?
Wherever he is, it's his birthday tomorrow.
Dan Burrish, of course, a whistleblower in the UFO world. Go ahead, Howard, if you want to just... How sick do you get, Howard? If you eat tainted or you get mad cow, does it show right away?
Oh, no. You know, if you were to go out and eat it and get infected today, you would show absolutely no symptoms for anywhere from 10 to 40 years.
So you don't get a fever right away.
No,
nothing
you
like
don't.
That.
You don't show anything. And what happens is you start eating these little holes in your brain. And as those holes get larger, all of a sudden you end up with this neurological diseases like dementia, you know, and it appears a lot like Alzheimer's. The only problem is that somewhere between, 9 to 18 months after the symptoms show up, if you have the human form of mad cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, you will end up dying. You will be an absolute vegetable before that happens because you will not be able to control any of your extremities. You will not be able to talk or see or the whole thing. It's a terrible way to die.
All right, Dodie, we're putting you on hold now so you can give Tom your phone number, and we'll be back in touch with you within a couple days. I'd like to set something up with you and get you on, get you really to talk about your side of the story, the Dan Burrish story, because we really haven't had an opportunity to chat with you of any extent. So let us do that. Tom, take the phone number if you would. Howard, do you know what specific day you're speaking at the Conscious Life Expo?
Yeah, I will be speaking at about 11 o'clock on Saturday the 11th. And what I would invite everybody in the LA area that you're there, come to the Conscious Life Expo. Let's talk about how serious it is. Now, George, most people don't realize that we just had the State of the Union address by the president.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time that each and every one of us sat down and did a State of the Universe address? Things are a lot tougher than what we ever thought. We have more people, less natural resources, more health problems. We can talk about, the bird flu and the whole thing. Isn't it amazing? Our government talks about one out of every two Americans with the potential of dying from bird flu. and we're not even talking about what amplifies that.
Howard, I will see you out there at the conference, okay?
I'm looking forward to it, George.
All right, my friend. Howard Lyman. And again, if you need more information, it's 800-367-5777, or go to the coasttocoastam.com website. You'll see a link for the Conscious Life Expo, Howard's website, madcowboy.com.